100 years old, winding from tribe to tribe through more than 300 different Indian villages. Authentic Stories by Robert E. Callahan, tonight, who is producing a version of the historical Sundance to the Pawnee Nation. 22 real Indians are in the studio. This program will be followed by a 15-minute drama of the most famous cattle ranch in Texas.
Village in Wyoming, 1852. We are now facing a Sundance Lodge. 800 tall teepees and three large circles form the background to the greatest Indian ceremony of the West. The Sun Lodge itself, 100 feet in diameter, is made of many skins tied to the sacred pole, 40 feet high, three beaver skins, a bunch of sweet grass, a cluster of ripe red cranberries, and one buffalo skull on the tip of the pole. On the ground by the pole, buffalo robe, red blanket, large blue bead, medicine bonnet, and piece of dried meat. Over 10,000 Indians and 300 white people are watching the annual July dance. Listen! The Sun Dance is a condition of existence. One of the dancers has a large gray wolf skin on his head. The skin hangs down his back. Another man has nude body pasted with clay. One man has a buffalo skull on his head. Chief Big White Horse, over 112 years of age, feeble, blind, his face a tragic story of doom, is approaching with his two sons, both past 80 and both alert as men of 40. Here each year, vows are fulfilled. For instance, when starting out on the warpath in close fight, while trapping or hunting, the Indian makes a vow that if successful, he will show gratitude by making a sacrifice to the sun god. The occasion offers self-expression, emotion, fellowship, and the binding of friendship and loyalty. If an Indian woman is lost on the trail of pure thought, she makes a vow to sacrifice before the sun god. This is a time, my friends, for making new policies, rank and teeth, for grieving and for gratification of social dances. A dance where Indians pay strange but deep sacred tribute to the sun god. Let's get closer to the sacred altar as the dancers come forward. There is a round dugout containing a bright sand painting, four upright willow sticks, and four green branches of cedar. All around are Indian men and women whose rich regalia and solemn faces reveal their deep concern and religious belief. They believe the sun is the ruling power of all things. They worship the sun not as a god, but in gratitude of what it means to life, a sun chanter. Without the sun, no grass would grow, no trees would bud, no flowers bloom, no fruits ripen, and no light. All would be darkness. Each Indian who is to take part in this ceremony has been fasting 4 days and four nights and are now expected to do a dance from 1 to 8 days, depending on physical ability to endure the test. Every now and then, we pause for a brave to pass as he does his chant. No two sing the same song. Four old men attired in brown buckskin, embedded with 1,000 red, yellow, and white beads, nearly able to move, are wobbling around the sacred pole to signify their love for the four gods of the world, sun, moon, earth, and light. A red beaded band around each waist, decorated with a pictorial purple cloud edged in gold. A black line on the chest defies rain to wash the color away. And now we hear the tall tree chant. Each dancer will soon appear with a bone whistle, symbolizing the breath of life and the cry of the thunderbird. The moments are tense. Here they come. Eight dancers. Each body free of clothing except a red band about the waist. The first thought is to make his sacrifice to the travois beside the sacred pole. Here they place ripe cranberries, dried buffalo meat, and meal made of acorns on the ground as food for departed spirits. About 80 squaws are seated in a circle as four braves step forward and a man with a sharp knife cuts the skin on each dancer's back. They are now tying one end of a 30-foot buckskin thong to the flesh. The other end is already tied to the top of the 40-foot sun dance pole. Two more dancers are coming forward, slits in their chest, crossbars beneath the muscle, and a friend is pulling the cord tight so it will not break loose until a severe strain has been given. With the drone of the sun dance drum, these Indians go forward, backward, pulling their whole weight as they dance and gradually lose strength or break the flesh loose from the 40-foot thong, whistling and humming as they continue to dance until sunset. In fact, they must remain here all night. Eyes open, facing the glaring sun, dancing without food, water, or any assistance until they fall exhausted in fulfillment of the vow. They must not show any sign of strain or pain. In fact, I don't see how they stand the strain. But one man has a big buffalo tied to the muscle in his back, and the whistles continue. Another has a fine stump, the jawbone of a horse tied to his shoulder blade. The dance goes on. The whistles continue. These objects strike the ground and get torn off and released by a severe strain, after which they are freed of sin and go forth in honor. With the aid of a native healing oil and sacred prayer, practically every sun dancer of any tribe soon recovers from the terrible and horrible torture. Thing we're sure. Every dance, song, and chant of the Indian signifies gratitude for a favor his God. The most impressive part of the ceremony being the prayer of the high chief. In part, he said, "It does us all good to assemble every summer around the Lodge's Lodge, smoke the pipe of peace, and go away feeling we have done some good. You, my braves, have fulfilled your vow. As the older people fasted and prayed, the young men have listened to the wise counsel of chiefs, and the maidens have learned from the medicine women whose lives are pure and hearts are kind. The great sun god is our father. He has made trees to bud, the grass to grow, fruits to ripen and flowers to bloom, that we may go forth in springtime, summer or fall, and be proud of earth and life. He gave us good hearts that we might be kind and help each other. The grass is long and green in these bright days of summer, but the cold and frosty winter with deep snow and biting wind will come, and you must prepare to live right and do right by all mankind. The white man has come to stay. Do not fight, but live and let live, and try to have the white man understand. Send your children to school. Teach them to work. Be honest and keep every promise. As you leave the Sun Lodge today, the chief goes with you in spirit, sunshine and joy. Always your guard, in time of trouble, your helper, your friend. What I speak with my mouth, I feel in my heart. Farewell, little papooses. May the great spirit be with you in love for nature, poise, good thought, and kindness on the winding trail of life. Next Sunday, my friends, we will take you to a Modoc village, into the home of a Pueblo medicine man, then to the wigwam where the first pipe of peace was made. as we hear this social dance. Friends, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to stand with this microphone and look through the window and see a number of children watching these real, full-blooded American Indians dance and sing of their native haunt. And I also feel very proud this evening to tell you that in the studio at this time is one of our leading executives of the city of Los Angeles. Among my friends in California, I have always been proud of seeing are those who have helped to build and not destroy. Children appreciate the Indian as the average man does not appreciate him. And tonight we have one of the leading men of the city, a member of your city council. He is here in the studio and we've asked him to stop by for a moment and say a few words as to his impression of this program. Because he's a man you will like, a man everyone likes, and a man who has your interest at heart. I speak of my friend and your friend, the Honorable Robert McAllister, member of the City Council of Los Angeles. Mr. McAllister.
Good evening, friends. I am very glad not only to be among those who are listening to this program, but actually to see how it is being done. What impresses me with Mr. Callahan's radio programs is the fact that they have been so widely endorsed by churches and civic clubs in California. There is a certain educational value for the child in these broadcasts. Stories of nature, the meaning of Indian symbols and Indian prayers, are history that every child should know. The boy or girl who learns the value of outdoor life soon realizes why the Indian of old was so sturdy and lived to such a ripe old age. The freedom of the open spaces, the health-building tonic that outdoor life gives one, is a part of Mr. Callahan's philosophy. And if you were here tonight and could see these real Indians in all of their color, solemn faces, and expression of sincerity, you would understand what I mean when I say we as a whole should feel proud of anyone who is helping to preserve the history of California and the history of the American Indian. As a member of your city council in Los Angeles, I am glad to do what I can to develop and encourage the creation of public parks, recreation centers, and any sort of playground through which the boy and girl can be in touch with outdoor life.